The Lord be with you. It's summertime, and so a lot of people are traveling, and sometimes people will tell me about their travel plans. They'll say, Pastor, I've got my passport, I got my phrase book, I got my swimsuits, I'm headed to Mexico. And I'll say, oh, great, yeah, you know, when you travel, you got to pack things. And then they'll come back sometimes, and they'll say, Pastor, I had such a great time in Mexico. We went to this resort, we jet skied every day, and when we got hungry, there was a McDonald's right across the street. And I think to myself, friend, you did not go to Mexico. You brought America south of the border. Because to truly travel, not only do you need to bring things with you, you also need to leave things behind. Today, Jesus in the gospel sends out 70 of his disciples. He sends them out to the surrounding towns to guide other people into the kingdom of God. And for those of us today who want to travel to God's kingdom, and want to bring others with us, Jesus gives us a packing list with 6 things to take with us and 6 things to leave behind. Now, the very first thing that Jesus tells us we need to leave behind is home. And this is true no matter where we want to travel. If you want to get anywhere different from where you are now, you need to leave where you are now. And sometimes that's true on a literal level, right? Jesus is sending his 70 disciples to these different towns where he intends to go. And even for us today, sometimes to get to the kingdom of God, we need to leave our home, like the crew of folks who went down to Rancho Santa Marta, that orphanage and school in Baja California did a few weeks ago. But always, we need to leave our home on a spiritual level. You see, our home is the place where we are comfortable. It is the place where we think we know everyone. It is the place where we think we know what to expect. I say this because sometimes the people that we are trying to guide into God's kingdom live in the same house with us. But if we are going to reach God's kingdom with those folks, we need to be willing to leave behind the home of our hearts. We need to be willing to leave behind our comfort zone, our assumptions about those people that we live with, and our expectations of what life has to look like. But friends, that's hard. And so the first thing that Jesus tells his disciples to bring with them on their journey is a partner. You see, it doesn't matter if your goal is to travel to another country or to exercise or to share God's love. You are more likely to succeed if you have a partner to do it with. Because when you get discouraged and are tempted to give up, your partner can encourage you. When you make a mistake, your partner can catch it and help you correct it. And when you get distracted, your partner can keep you on track and remind you what you are here to do. And friends, there is no shortage of distractions as we seek to share the kingdom of God. Which is why one of the things that Jesus tells his disciples to do is to not greet anyone on the road. Jesus isn't telling us to be antisocial. He's telling us to stay focused and to leave behind our distractions. You see, in the ancient world, the only way you got news is by running into someone new. And so each person that the disciples meet on the road has news about things in the world which might warrant the disciples' attention. And heck, even that person on the road might be someone the disciples are tempted to try to guide into God's kingdom. But Jesus hasn't sent his disciples out randomly to try to share the kingdom of God wherever they might find it. Jesus has sent his disciples to specific towns, to places where he himself intends to go. And so it is with us. God calls us to specific places and people and types of ministry. And there are so many other things in this world which warrant our attention, right? There are crises and causes and locations which rightly deserve someone to pay attention to them and to share God's kingdom with them. But when God has given you a specific calling, either to certain people or to a certain place or to a certain type of ministry, keep your focus there and trust that Jesus will send other people to share God's kingdom in those other locations. And this is why The next thing Jesus tells us to bring along is prayer. Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers." Jesus is telling his disciples to pray. To pray that God will send someone to share God's kingdom where they cannot, but also to pray that God sends them to share God's kingdom where they can. And that's our calling also, to pray that God sends people to all those places in the world where we can't be, but that God sends us to all those places where we can be, filled with the courage to share God's kingdom. But even when we are in those places where we are meant to be, even when we are doing the work that God has sent us to do, we are still called to pray that Jesus sends more laborers into that ministry. Because no matter what your passion is for serving, God wants more people to serve alongside you. We can never do God's will alone, because none of us can carry all the things we need to get to the kingdom of God by ourselves. And if we think we can, we have failed to listen when Jesus says to leave behind self-sufficiency. Jesus says, "Bring no purse, no bag, and no sandals." He's saying, don't bring any money. Don't bring any luggage. Don't bring any means of transportation, right? The very things you need to take on a trip, Jesus says, don't bring them. And what's worse, Jesus says, don't bring any of those supplies immediately after he says, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. It is a dangerous thing to seek out a new reality ruled not by the laws of this world, but by the word of God. It is a dangerous thing to share our faith. And so many times, Christians, when they know that they're going to try to share their faith with someone, they begin by arming themselves with Bible verses and logical arguments and even put-downs, anything to make themselves seem superior to the people that they are going to try to guide into God's kingdom. But Jesus tells us to do the very opposite. Jesus tells us, in lieu of all these things to bring, Jesus tells us to bring vulnerability. Jesus tells us, don't bring any of these things, because what that means is now you're going to have to trust solely on God. You're going to have to model for the people you interact with what trusting God looks like. And it means that the people that you encounter with whom you are trying to share God's kingdom are the very people to whom you're going to look for God to provide for you. Jesus is telling us to be vulnerable, to show our weakness and our need so that others might see in us how God shows up. So that, as Paul writes to the Galatians, may I boast of nothing but the cross of Christ. This is the vulnerability that we are called to bring. We are called to model it for people because people need to see that it actually changes our lives. But in addition to this vulnerability, Jesus says to also bring peace. He says to bring peace, that when we enter a house, we say, peace to this house. And if someone in that house shares your peace, it will rest on them. And if not, your peace will return to you. Now, here's the thing. We tend to think that peace requires two parties, but that's not true. Conflict requires two parties. Peace requires only Christ. Because in Christ, we know who we are and what we are about and where we are headed as God's beloved children. And when you know who you are in Christ, why you are in Christ, and where you are headed in Christ, you have within you a peace that you can give to others, but no one can take from you. And that's why Jesus says it is your peace that you give and your peace that you return to you. And here's the thing, if you share your peace with people and they don't want it, Jesus says, Just take it back. Because one of the things that Jesus tells us to leave behind is drama. Yeah? Sometimes you go and you want to share God's peace with you, and honestly, people aren't interested in God's peace. What people are interested in is gossip or being grouchy, causing problems in the community for no purpose other than just to stir up trouble. We are called to love and serve our neighbor. It doesn't mean we're called to engage in their grouchiness. And so, yeah, if someone wants to start a fight, we don't have to give it to them. We can walk away. Winning doesn't mean proving that we are right. Winning means letting the peace of Christ prevail. And we can't let that happen if we allow ourselves to be provoked. And so sometimes the easiest thing and the best thing is to give your peace to someone, and if they don't want it, just keep moving on. There's an institute called the Gottman Institute, and it studies marriage. And it says one of the keys to a successful long-term marriage is not that the couple always finds a resolution to their disagreements, but that the couple has found ways in their disagreements when they realize nothing's going to get resolved to just move on. Yeah, say, okay, we don't have to solve this one. Let's just move on. If someone doesn't want to share in your peace, take it back and keep moving on. But Jesus says, if they do welcome you, if they do receive your peace, whichever house you first enter, remain there and eat whatever they provide for you. And this brings us to the next two things on our packing list, that we are called to leave behind envy and we are called to bring along gratitude. You see, Jesus is telling his disciples, when you first enter into a town, you got to find a place to stay. And maybe when you first show up as a stranger, the only place that you're welcomed into is a lowly home. And after you've been there a while, maybe you become popular, and someone's got a mansion down the road, and they say, hey, come stay with me. And you say, hey, I could really move up my accommodations in life. They're going to serve me three-course meal every time I come over there. Jesus says, no. You're not here to improve your comfort. You are here to deepen relationships. You are here to share the kingdom of God. And the only way you can share the kingdom of God is if you love people. And the only way that you can love people is if you are grateful for them as they are. Doesn't mean that's where you want to leave them, but you have to start with that gratitude for who they are in the moment. Which is why Jesus says, eat whatever is set before you. Whatever they're going to give you, receive it. May we not, in our own lives, be constantly looking to say, oh man, I wish I could have a different family like that one that seems so much happier on social media, right? May we not always be trying to move towns or countries that we think are going to better align with us. May we give thanks for the goodness and gifts of the people and places where God has set us, even while we acknowledge their shortcomings and brokenness. And friends, we have to acknowledge their shortcomings and brokenness. Because the last thing that Jesus tells us to bring is healing. Jesus says, when you've been welcomed into a town, cure the sick that are there. And this may mean, right, to pray over people so that they may be cured of their cancer or their leprosy or even their common cold. It may mean that. But friends, there are many types of illnesses. Many types of illnesses within individuals, within families, and within communities. And here's the thing. If you show up in people's lives, if you show up prayerfully, if you show up with vulnerability that trusts in God, if you show up sharing peace rooted in Christ, and if you show up grounded in gratitude, your very presence will bring healing to the people around you. And Jesus says, when you see that your presence with people brings them healing, it is in that moment that you are to say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Jesus has told his disciples to do everything else first, to leave home, to bring a partner, to be vulnerable, to not bring any supplies of self-sufficiency, to share peace and be grounded in gratitude, to allow healing to happen, and only then to start talking theology. Only then to name that the kingdom of God is near. Because it's only when people have experienced the kingdom of God through you that they're going to care at all to hear about the kingdom of God from you. And they need to hear about the kingdom of God from you. They need to know that there is a name for that prayerful life, for that vulnerable life, for that life of peace and gratitude and healing. They need to know that the name for that is Christ's kingdom. But here's the thing. If having all done all that, people still say, nope, I don't want any part of it. If they don't welcome you, what Jesus says to do is to leave one more thing behind. It is their dust. Yeah? Because sometimes people just honestly don't want what God is offering. It makes no sense to me, but it's true. Sometimes people say, nope, none of that sounds good. And Jesus says, in that moment, you could get weighed down by that weight of rejection. You could feel like, no, I have to spend the rest of my life trying to convince this person to love Jesus. Friends, Jesus says, no, just go out and say, you know what? You don't want anything to have to do with God? Fine, you can have everything back. I mean, even the dust from my feet, I'm going to give it back to you. But Jesus says, even then, say, yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Because you see, through that prayerful life, through that vulnerability, through that sharing of peace and grounding of gratitude, you have given that person a glimpse of the kingdom of God. Paul writes to the Galatians, you reap what you sow. We have the power to sow the kingdom of God. Jesus has given us the power and the packing list. And through our actions, we can sow seeds of the kingdom wherever we go. And if the people we sow them for don't want it, we still harvest the kingdom of God for ourselves. Jesus has given us the power to be transformed, to given us the power to transform the world instead of being transformed by it. And since this is 4th of July weekend, I want to invite us as a congregation over the month of July to take a journey together to try to guide this corner of our country more fully into God's kingdom. And friends, it's going to require us to be uncomfortable. It's going to require us to leave home. But friends, we will do this through all the things listed in Jesus' packing list. We will do it together, and we will start with prayer. During the month of July, we're going to pray for our nation and the people in authority by name. We'll start with our bishops, our local bishop Jeff Johnson, and our national bishop Elizabeth Eaton. And then we're also going to pray for those in authority in our government. We're going to pray for our president Donald, and we're going to pray for our governor Gavin. And I know that most of you don't like at least one of those two people, if not both, yeah? But here's the thing, the less you like them, the more you should pray for them, yeah? Because we desperately need God to guide them and give them wisdom. And having started with prayer, we're going to practice vulnerability and sharing peace in this place by explicitly talking about politics. Not me in my sermon, which is a monologue, and you don't get to talk back, right? But after worship, we're going to have conversation, not today, but on July 20th. Leanne Chrisman went to a training in Rotary. A team of Rotary in Berkeley got a grant to figure out how to have productive conversations about politics. And Leanne got to do a training with it. And so she's going to bring it here for us, and we're going to try it out. And here's the thing. I know that there are people in this room of all sorts of political persuasions, different political tribes, But after Paul has finished dictating his letter to the Galatians, we hear today that Paul takes the pen in his own hand and writes a little postscript that he wants to make sure the Galatians get the point. And the point is this: they don't need to be circumcised. Why does that matter? Well, because many Jewish followers of Jesus said, to be a follower of Jesus, you have to belong to a tribe of Israel. And to be part of a tribe of Israel, there's a litmus test. Are you circumcised? And Paul says there's no litmus test to be part of the church, to be part of the body of Christ. That's why he says, may I boast of nothing but the cross of Christ. And so it is in our congregation. There's no litmus test of political alignment to be here at Faith Lutheran. There is only a desire to share the love of Jesus. And that love of Jesus, friends, I believe will give us the foundation to do what the rest of our country so desperately needs to learn how to do. To have respectful and productive conversations about the big political issues of our time. So that we can find common ground and move forward for the sake of the common good. So I invite you, you got 2 weeks to prepare, but I don't want you to prepare clever arguments to antagonize. I want you to prepare your vulnerability of why these issues really matter to you and to share them in a way that promotes peace. But before we do that today, after worship, I invite you to our potluck where we may give thanks and gratitude that our nation is composed of such good people as are in this place right now. And that through breaking of bread, we might find healing for ourselves and for our nation. Friends, Jesus calls us to a journey from the kingdoms of this world to the kingdom of God, calls us to bring others along with us. Jesus has given us the power and the packing list to make it on that journey. May we pray that the Spirit gives us strength to not give up hope. For when the harvest time comes, we will reap abundantly. Amen.